This is Grandstand at Stumps.
ABC Grandstand.
On ABC Local Radio and on ABC Grandstand Digital.
Here is Kishav Maharaj, big veal, up goes the finger. South Africa have won the test match. 361 all-out victory for South Africa by 177 runs to go 1-0 up in the series and inflict Australia's first opening test defeat at the beginning of a summer since 1988.
South Africa, just a tremendous win. They go 1-0 up in the series. There's so much to admire about the way that they've been able to do this, and we'll share it with them and seek some answers from the Australians as well. Chris Rogers and Simon Kadich down here. Chris, your overall thoughts?
Yes, look, a very disappointing test match for Australia, particularly from a position of strength from the hour mark of day two. I actually think the moment that the test match changed was when Dale Steyn went down, and from there the Australian batsmen actually changed their mindset, became too defensive, and that resulted in a collapse all out in 10 wickets for 86 runs. And that was really the moment the test match changed. And from then on in, South Africa really played an excellent game, put Australia under pressure, batted fantastically well, and then really scrapped together with the ball, and they got their result. And they're deserved winners. And Australia they've got to go back to the drawing board. They've got to figure out how they're going to rebound from here. Simon Kadich.
It means so much to them, just before you do, Kat, is... Du Plessis led them off. He stood there and he lowered his body and clenched both fists to the support staff and the coach as they were coming off. And there's jubilation. Understandably, that is an against-the-wall win from a terrible position at the end of day one, and so much running against them. That's what the identity of a team, which was the threat at the start of the test, that's what it's built on.
They know how much this test win means to them, because they were staring down the barrel on the morning of day two, and at 150-odd before David Warner got out, they would have had thoughts of how are we going to get ourselves out of this mess. And then to have turned it around in the space of a couple of days, credit deserves to go to Dean Elgar and JP Duminy for that fantastic partnership. They buried Australia with that. And then the young kid, Kagiso Rabada, what an outstanding effort from a young 21-year-old, 5-for-92 in this second innings, and he looks like he's got a very, very bright future.
There are always heroes in wins, whatever the sport, in test wins. Rabada is absolutely that, the 21-year-old who's taken up the attack once Dale Steyn exited the scene. Outstanding. And then we've all marvelled at Bavuma along the way and what a character he's been, but what an influence that he left on the match.
Yeah, he did, and both of them did. I think that was what we've been hoping to see is heroes stand up, and actually they stood up for South Africa, and a couple of young guys in the South African side. Well, we've heard a bit about them, but probably a little bit unheralded in Australia, and they were fantastic. I mean, I think Rabada was, he showed everyone just how good he is at the ripe age of 21. But Bavuma too, he just wanted to be in the game, and he made his presence felt. That run out of Davey Warner, that inspired them, didn't it?
Certainly did. He's quickly becoming one of my favourite players, Bavuma. Not only in the field and with the bat, but also with the ball. Today, got his first test wicket at Josh Hazlewood, and a bit stiff that he didn't end up getting the LBW as well. It was Mukwaja first ball, but he's going to have to go back to the drawing board and work on his run-up. But fantastic young player, and I think he showed a fair bit with the bat as well, 40-odd in the first innings. So he looks like he's got a nice, bright future.
And character, Kat, that was what we probably marvelled at, is you know, that they were gone. I mean, how many games do you win when your premier strike bowler goes down, the opposition are only 100 behind, one down? You know, you think that that's it for them, but they've just found character everywhere, and some of the performances by these guys, I reckon it'll be career best for these guys, wouldn't it?
Oh, without a doubt, and on conversely, from the Australian point of view, they know how good a position they are in on day two, and to let that slip and allow this to happen is something that's going to really bug them, because it's obviously been going on for a couple of months now.
Neil Manthorpe, we talk about heroes from this test. South Africa's got a few. You've got one of them now.
I do, and with Themba Bavuma, I don't know whether to start with your batting, your fielding, or your bowling. Go on, let's go with the bowling.
Bowling. I don't know what to say. I wasn't expecting to get a ball. I'm happy to get a chance to bowl. Things went decently well from the bowling side.
Themba, what we really want to know is the run out. I mean, have you... I know you practice it. I've seen you practice and work on your fielding. But to do it on the stage like this and turn the test match...
Yeah, I think, you know, you can put in all the hours and hours of practice, but where it actually matters is out there in those pressure situations. I've always wanted to get that kind of a run out. I can't explain how it happened. I think I just got myself in the right position and everything just reacted as I wanted to.
Tamba, you played really well in the first innings, looked nice and compact. We obviously in Australia haven't seen a lot of you yet. How did you find the adjustment playing in these conditions here?
Yeah, quite similar to back home, to be honest. I play franchise cricket at Johannesburg at the Wanderers, so the wicket is quite similar to that in terms of the bounce, the pace, the cracks as well. So it was quite similar to home, not too much adjusting. It felt comfortable out there.
Tamba, us being shorter players, you usually expect more of a strength on the back foot, but you actually look like you prefer to score off the front foot. Is that something you're conscious of?
Yeah, I've always tried to force myself to get forward. I think growing up, you know, I did generally look to dominate off the back foot, but having played a bit more higher level, I felt that, you know, scoring off the front foot, you know, suited me a much more better.
And just as importantly, your bowling. We called it a few days ago. We wanted to see you at the bowling crease, just given that crack there. Are you going to go and do some work on your front foot with Charles Langevelt?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to. I was obviously quite disappointed at that. We've spoken long and hard about no balls. And, you know, as one of the batters who keeps on shouting at the bowlers to get a no ball, it's obviously it's not a great thing.
Just from the character point of view of the team, I mean, from the hour mark of day two, you guys were done and dusted. How did you regroup to play that kind of game? Because that's one of the best tests you could possibly play from that position.
Yeah, I think that was a special effort. One of the best games that I've been part of. I think, you know, it's what we've spoken about, you know, in terms of our proto fire, what that stands for us is, you know, standing up in those pressure situations, and that's exactly what we tried to do. We understood that we had to go back to our basics, you know, from the batting and from the bowling, and just hone on that, and good for us, you know, things in the second innings went our way, and we went with the momentum.
Been some amazing comebacks by the South African team over the years here in Australia. Were they mentioned? I mean, did the guys who've been part of them, like Faf, did they say we've come back from situations like this before?
Yeah, definitely. Dale Steyn mentioned it. You know, I wasn't around, but I heard the last game that was played here had a similar kind of ending. South Africa scored 200 and not much and went on to win the game by 300 runs, which I think is quite similar to what happened today. So, I mean, we had comfort and we had the belief that we could always turn things around.
Well done. It was a delight to watch you and the team.
Thank you, Neil.
Tamba Bavuma with us on Grandstand Test Cricket, and what an effort in a test victory over Australia. Kihiso Rabada's just been named in the man of the match, so his bowling efforts, profound. Profound, Neil. This is a famous South African win.
And as I said, the thing that's really unusual for a 21-year-old is that already, you know, that was expected. You know, it wasn't... we've watched every test match he's played so far, and it wasn't a question of, he raised his game, and, you know, that was brilliant for a 21-year-old. That's just Kagiso Rabada. I mean, he took 13 against England. He's never, ever been overawed, and, you know, in the one-day game as well, he took a hat-trick in his first game at the best figures ever on debut by anybody. It's no wonder he's our Test Player of the Year, Cricketer of the Year, and ODI Cricketer of the Year.
Well, I think what we admire too is that he's 21 and he's fit. You know, like we have a couple of amazing young bowlers, but we can't seem to, you know, get them on the park. And no idea why. I got no answers to that. But he's just amazing, isn't he? He's at 21. He's shouldering the workload, and he's actually becoming almost the leader of the attack.
What I liked hearing about him the other day was that he was told, you know, his second year in international cricket would be harder than the first because teams will start to know how to play him and work him out. And I think the fact that he's pulled aside some of the coaches and he's willing to listen and learn and try and improve his game says something about his character.
So he has been named the man of the match. I think we get a run at him here, Neil, as I reckon Dirk should go over it with you to talk from the bowling side of things. And maybe South African telly is going to jump in first. So Dirk, in what you saw of him, is he's a match winner.
Absolutely, he's a match winner. Where can you sign him up? Like I was saying while we were on air earlier, the impressive thing for me is the way that his mind is so patient, and the ability for him to be able to deliver and not get carried away, that he's bowling extra pace, that he's bowling at the whacker. There's a whole lot of those sort of things that other bowlers who are more mature than him come unstuck. That's it's tremendous maturity as a cricketer from him at such a young age, and I echo Buck's sentiments that he's actually, the big thing is he's on the park and he's 21 years old and not injured.
Yep. And understanding the responsibility that fell to him immediately after the Steyn injury, and he was bowling, and he skittled Khawaja at that stage, and it was such the statement, and it was one that he carried through the remainder of the match.
Absolutely. The only downside for him and his performance was the way he, just towards the end there, his pace dropped off, but he has shouldered an amazing workload throughout this game, and it was all down to him, and he pulled through.
The way the captain marshalled things, Simon, from the captain's perspective, is there were a lot of pieces in that jigsaw to try to put together, and they've won right on tee, essentially, on day five. The key man out of the attack, the main batsman not coming. So not just morale, but to actually navigate your way through a long period of that test match, that's really clever.
Well, definitely. I think in the second innings it was made a lot easier for Faf du Plessis due to the amount of runs on the board, but in that first innings when they're under pressure and obviously Australia going so well, there's no doubt that he marshalled the troops and managed to get something out of them that probably no one thought was possible except for themselves. And that's credit to him and the belief, not only in himself and the rest of the group, but I guess from what's happened in the past with this team, they've drawn on the spirit of the team from the past, and these guys have been able to back that up again, and you know, he deserves a lot of credit. They've set some different fields at times, but that's the key to this game, is trying to work out the opposition. And I think he's rotated, you know, given that he only had two quicks to work with for the bulk of this test match, he's been able to rotate the bowlers beautifully and got the best out of his young spinner on debut as well, getting him in the action and backing him in, which is not always easy to do on a wicket like the Wacker.
So a touring team must get just so much out of something like this, Chris.
That's, in many respects, okay, you take the Dale Steyn injury out of it, that's the perfect test match. You go behind the game and then you fight your way out of it and you win convincingly in the end. And that just shows and proves to the group themselves how much character they have. And actually, they're not relying on one or two players. They've got so many guys stepping up, and guys that probably they wouldn't even expect to step up as much, and that's what's really pleasing for them.
Well, next test, you throw in another bowler, so they've got another one in their arsenal, whether it's Morkel or Abbott come in, and then you throw in the scenario that Ambler's probably going to get more than one run in a test match. So all of a sudden, you know, Australia have got to up the ante here, because South Africa will still have room for improvement given what they've done in this test match.
We'll talk a bit more with the South Africans in a moment, and then hopefully Steve Smith before we finish up. What are the key disappointments for Australia to deal with, do you think, in the immediate aftermath?
Oh, I have two things. They revolve a little bit around the batting. I was really disappointed with what happened when Dale Steyn went down. And I know that they were trying just as hard, but what they tried to do was they went defensive, went into their shell, because they felt they only had to do a little bit of hard work and then the runs would come. But it got them into the wrong mindset. You still have to have a positive mindset, don't you, Kat? I think. And the other point is, I kind of think that they can only play in one style. You know, that maybe there was a push for just, let's just stonewall. You know, last innings, let's just go out and be positive with it, but let's be really defensive and make them work for it. Your thoughts?
There's no doubt that that probably should have come into the equation, just because 540 runs is a huge ask. You know, you play the percentages in this game and it's never been done in Test cricket before, which there's a reason for that. It's highly unlikely you will chase down those runs. I mean, even South Africa here in 2008 got 414. That's still a lot more runs than that. But I think the worrying sign for me, there's two things. One is with the batting and stringing partnerships together, because I don't think there's not too many of the players that are out of form in terms of the batting. They've all looked like they can get runs. The thing for me is that the other thing is that there's a really heavy reliance on this attack for Mitchell Starc, and we saw it in the second innings. If he doesn't fire, and he should, he's not always going to fire in Test cricket. The other guys, obviously the support crew, at some point have got to take the heat off him, because he can't be expected to go out there every time he plays for Australia and takes 4 or 5 wickets.
Can I ask you one question? You know what it's like. Do you think, and it's not easy to do you think that the Australian batsmen can change up their style of play? Or can they only, is it really, okay, well, stick to their strengths and that's it? And that's fine if that's what they want to do, but is there the option for them to just go, okay, we're just going to block it?
Well, they're going to have to, because that's going to be part of their development if they want to improve as a team. Peter Neville applied himself today. Brilliant. Usman Khawaja looked magnificent until he missed that one. So they're capable of doing it. It's just that they need to execute it when the pressure's on, and particularly in the first innings. It's no point leaving the job for the second innings because there's too much pressure. Do it in the first innings when the game counts.
There's one certain change to the Australian side. We've just been told Sean Marsh broke a finger batting in the first innings, which will require surgery, so he's out of the Hobart test. Two players brought into the squad, Joe Burns and Callum Ferguson. So it's a 13-man squad now. Sean Marsh is out and won't play. Joe Burns, Callum Ferguson to replace Marsh, and then I suppose we see what happens there. But that actually does provide scope for more changes, because the 12-man squad is now a 13-man squad with an extra batsman, and Joe Minnie still in that squad.
Look, I'm certainly not surprised by Callum Ferguson's inclusion. In terms of runs in Sheffield Shield in the last couple of years, I think he's got around about the 1,400 mark at an average of 54, 600s, courtesy of Rick Finlay. And I think there's only a couple of guys with more runs than him, and that's Adam Voges, who was picked last year, Michael Klinger, and I think Cameron Bancroft, who all play here at the Wacker. And that's probably saying something about how good a batting track it is here, having spoken to Justin Langer about it. But I think he deserves an opportunity. He's an experienced player. He's been making runs. He got 100 in the first Shield game here in Perth. Joe Burns, obviously, was stiff to miss out in Sri Lanka. Hasn't made a lot of Shield runs yet, but obviously, given Sean Marsh has been opening the batting, he's obviously the obvious candidate.
Who's first cab off the rank for you?
Well, it depends on how they want to structure the batting lineup. Given that Sean has been opening, you'd have to say that there's a fair chance Joe goes straight in and opens, unless they consider rejigging it and Khawaja goes up. But I think they'd be happy with Khawaja at 3. That's the only other option. Khawaja opens and then Ferguson comes in the middle order with everyone moving up one.
Have they also then give themselves the scope to actually go, we're going to play 6 batsmen and 4 bowlers?
They clearly have, because they didn't have to add 2. They could have just made that one change. So obviously there is a little bit more broad thinking going on than would have been, or than they'd forecast.
No doubt. And I think because of the conditions in Hobart, it is early season down there. With this forecast, you know, maybe some rain around. That will come into calculations, thinking, well, if there is any life in the wicket and it traditionally suits the seamers down there, then maybe they're thinking, you know, we need to have 6 batsmen. It's been an issue for us in the last couple of months of Test cricket.
Neil Manthorpe's got the man of the match.
Man of the match, man of the moment, KG. Very, very special. I don't know what makes it most special, the fact that you did it when your country needed you most without Dale.
Yeah, well, it was important for us to really contribute, and we knew that we had to do extra. And I think we had to wake up a bit when Dale was gone. But, it's just how this test match went. On other days, we're going to have Dale and we might not win. So I think this is just the way it was scripted. But we had to work hard and we had to bowl the ball in the right area, and everybody contributed. Myself, Keshav, and Vern, and even JP as well, and Temba there. So everyone was up for the challenge.
Bowling with the old ball was perhaps the difference between the teams. I mean, you know, we know what the new ball does, but it's the way you got it to shape. The way you worked on it, the reverse swing?
No, both teams got it to reverse. I don't know. You can say we batted well, we batted better against it, or we bowled better with it.
You seem, to an outsider, someone watching, you seem very patient with when you bowl with reverse swing, in terms of when you try and take your wicket ball, patient in the way you bring it in or out of from the batsman. Is that something that you've been working on, or is that something that a directive from Charles, or how have you come about that?
Well, yeah, I believe in you have to set a batsman up. You can't always go for glory balls. But, yeah, I can say you learn from other people, and you also learn through experience, yes.
Is that something that you've got from in the team, or do you seek, for example, tonight you'll go in and speak to some of the Australian players or people that you play against?
Yeah, I'll basically speak to someone who I feel masters a certain type of skill and draw as much as I can out of them, and then try to develop myself.
You've bowled a lot of overs in this test match. How's the body feeling now?
Yeah, well, I'm feeling good. I'm not feeling good to bowl another 10 at 145. But I'm all right, yeah. I'm okay.
Finally, KG, can you give us a sense of the camaraderie, the spirit that exists within the team? You know, Dale going down, being so far behind the game at sort of lunchtime on day two. Who are the leaders and who comes to you? Well, the captain, I suppose, who says, KG, get us back into the game.
Well, everyone in the team's got a responsibility. It's not all about me. Myself, I've got a responsibility. Keshav's got a responsibility. Vern's got every single player. And everyone rose up to their role and did their role well. And that's why we won, I think.
Well done, KG. Great to watch.
Thank you.
So Rabada, the man of the match, 5 wickets in the second innings, certainly an absolute match winner and entitled to that honour. South Africa leads the series 1-0. That's what the scoreboard at the Wacker declares, with Australia bowled out in that second dig. Right on tee, just the extended period of time taken. So what are Australia's chances of turning fortunes around when they get to Hobart?
I think they'll put on a better performance than what we've seen here. I can't see the batting crumbling like it did here in the first innings. It was really that first innings that ate them. They scored over 300 in the fourth inning. There's positives there. It'll be a turnaround whether they can win the test. I thought we saw a lot of quality out of South Africa, and with an extra bowler, they're going to be a tough opponent again. I certainly think they're going to put on a better show.
Simon?
I'd like to think that Australia will bounce back and be hurting from this. I think with the changes that have been made, it'll be interesting to see the balance that they want to go in with. I guess the big thing's going to be how the wicket is, because there hasn't been a lot of cricket played down in Hobart so far this season. So that's going to be the big challenge, to know what is the right balance. But I think, you know, in the past couple of years, well, year or so, obviously they've gone in with, you know, the all-rounder at six, Mitch Marsh. In the past, it's always been six batsmen, four bowlers. So that's going to be the big challenge for the selectors to determine what's right. And given the recent woes with the bat, there's no doubt they'll be considering that as a serious option.
And Chris, your thoughts on being able to turn it around?
Yes, absolutely. It's one game. I know. You know, the manner in which it happened is not great. But these guys are very good players. You're allowed to play a bad game. The opposition's allowed to play a good game. And equally, I still reckon they were underdone. I think that they're coming off one Shield game. It's not enough. Now they've got this game under their belt, they'll be better for it.
We'll only get one question here with Steve Smith. He can have the final word. Steve, welcome. I guess what's the source of most disappointment out of the test?
Probably our first innings batting. You know, we got ourselves into a pretty good position bowling South Africa out on day one for 240, but after being none for 150, we weren't able to capitalise. We lost wickets in clumps and had another collapse of 9 for 100, I think it was. So weren't able to capitalise on a great start to the test match, and we weren't able to come back from there.
Do you think you'll be able to turn that around? It's not the first time that collapse has happened for Hobart.
It isn't. But I'm confident in the batters and that we'll be able to turn it around in Hobart. We're going to have to do it straight away. 1-0 down in a three-match series, so we've got to turn up and be ready to play in Hobart.
We'll see you there for the toss. Thanks.
Thank you.
Steve Smith, the Australian captain, with us. The final word from the Wacker, where South Africa has won the test by 177 runs. The game scores South Africa 242 and 8 declared for 540. Australia 244 and then all out for 361. 361 is a pretty good fourth inning score, but such was the mountain to climb that they've lost by a lot. And South Africa win for the third successive time here at the Wacker. They claim the advantages of the series going one up. Dirk Nanis, Simon Kadish, Chris Rogers. See you again in Hobart.
when the battle resumes. And we will talk to you all from there on Grandstand Test Cricket. Enjoy the next few days.
The first ball of the Australian Test Cricket summer. Mitch Stark with ball in hand. Stephen Cook, hunched down, touches, ready to go. Stark bowls outside the off stump and it passes without event. Stark looking to tumble him over. Edges caught the gully, a blinder! Leaping up to his left, Mitch Marsh pulls in a screamer to start the summer. Close out the over, he's got Du Plessis, who took a big swipe outside the off stump. He's the fifth wicket to fall with just 81 on the board.
Stark in again, to Steyn, he's around the wicket and bowls him! That's it. South Africa all out for 242.
Warner faces Philander and he drives beautifully down the offside into the channel and away for four.
Warner, lovely shot, cutting backward of point, four all the way.
I think we had a great day of cricket for the Australian team. We bowled South Africa out and we're none for 100 at stumps. Can't ask for much more than that on the first day of the summer.
Here's Steyn again and one is cut behind square on the offside.
Steyn's gone down. He's had a bunged shoulder.
It's just hanging limp down by his side, and he's off.
Khawaja taps away. Rabada is with him. He's bowled him! That's a superb delivery. Maharaj around the wicket. Smith is almost beaten. There's a shout for LBW, and he's been given. Smith was two strides down the wicket. Philander bowls the next ball. Mitch Marsh struck on the pads. Big appeal. Out. Mitch Marsh has gone for a duck. And Australia collapses to 5 for 181.
It has been a startling collapse by the Australians.
So, edge gone! Third slip, straight into the hands of Dean Elgar. And Australia have been bowled out, astonishingly, for 244.
Elgar down the wicket, he goes big, straight to the sight screen for six. Hazelwood, last ball of the over to Dumini, who plays from the crease. He drives magnificently.
Here's Josh Hazelwood, driven down the ground. It's a lovely looking shot from JP Dumini. It is worth four and it'll be four.
Dumini, who chops hard cuts and gets four through point. Doesn't matter the bowler, they're all getting the same treatment.
Marsh is in to him, drives away through the offside. This will be the two he needs. There's a man sweeping on the cover boundary. Dumini comes back for two. The bat goes up in his left hand.
That's such a special 100 for JP Dumini.
Here is Nathan Lyon, and it's driven away through the offside. 100 for Dean Elgar. He punches the air the moment he realises it's beaten the infield.
Vernon Philander awaits, and he's pulling up in the air. Down to fine leg. Hazelwood's in position. The ball is falling out of his hands. He was right there against the rope. De Kock waits for Siddle, who's with him, and he's driving crisply for four.
Philander has been dropped. He's on strike as he faces Siddle out of the block hole and away for four.
The South Africans are rolling now.
It's a worrying sign for Australia that this is happening the way it is.
Ground into the dirt.
Line in again. A big hit from De Kock, who just goes big and over the top of Long on. That's the full measure. A six.
Landers on 73. He's been bowled by Steve Smith. And the declaration has come. A lead of 538.
In Australia are under a lot of pressure. You know, they've dug themselves a huge hole. How they get out of here is anyone's guess.
Rabada around the wicket. Warner defends. He goes. They run. Bavuma swoops. Hits. Warner is going to the video. The ball gets in front of Warner. He's been run out.
It's just a fraction of a second he took to pick it up and let the ball go with his feet above his head. That's incredible.
Butter is in once again.
And there's an appeal for a finger goes up.
That's some of the best bowling I've seen in a long time.
Mitch Marsh looks down the pitch. Rabada is with him. Full ball into the toe. Big shout. Not out. The ball squirts away. This is going to be reviewed.
This will probably slide down leg side, but it's hold your breath stuff.
No, this is going down
for Mitch Marsh.
Out. It's hitting leg stuff. Mitch Marsh is out. LBW. Khawaja is on 97. Too many bowls. Beaten into the pads. Big shout. Out. Australia 6 for 246.
Vuma hits the deck this time. It takes a leading edge. It has been caught. He's got his first test wicket. And the South Africans come from everywhere to high-five the smallest man on the ground.
Here is Kishav
Maharaj, big veal, up goes the finger. South Africa have won the test match. 361 all out. And Kishav Maharaj, the frontline spinner, claims the final one.
to secure victory for South Africa by 177 runs.
Grandstand Cricket
on ABC Local Radio and on digital radio ABC Grandstand.